We just sang some songs of faith. Wade read a very powerful passage for us about being faithful. Joining together as we are this morning to encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to be with you all to find encouragement and strength in the faith. That's why we gather together. So this morning, in this year of faithfulness, I want to share words of faith with you today. I want to share with you clear ways that you can know that you're pleasing to God, too, this morning. So as I prep that, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6, quite possibly very familiar to many of you here this morning. As we think about the passage that Wade just read a moment ago, gathering together, strengthening one another. Listen, this group of early believers, they were facing some very perilous times. There was full-on persecution. I mean, their lives were threatened, their things were being taken at any time. It was extremely difficult. And then this letter is written to new Christians who had come out of the Hebrew faith. And so for this early church, there's this tension within the church of, well, should we really be doing it this way? I'm not sure. And so there was turmoil and strife even within the early church. And then not to mention that within their culture, it was horrible. I mean, there was sin at every corner luring people away from the faith in Jesus Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews works to encourage these early believers to not give up. Don't give up. Hang in there. Keep the faith. And he does it by describing what faith is and by giving illustrations of those that have been faithful. And then he gives a very simple recipe for how that we can be people of faith. So you guys ready to look at it this morning? I can tell you're ready to roll. Here we go. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Listen to this translation of this verse. Faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Here's another. Faith is the realization of things hoped for. Within this chapter, this word faith, pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, the Greek word, is listed 23 times. So if you look down through chapter 11, you'll see by faith, by faith, by faith. And we know this word. If you've ever had a business transaction, you've done something or a contract that's done in good what? In good faith. Yeah, you're trusting that what they're doing, that you've got hope that that's actually going to happen, that is going to come about. That there's an assurance, a substance to it of what's hoped for or expected. Look at the second half of this verse. It's the conviction of things not seen. Conviction. The New King James Version used the word evidence. There's a conviction or evidence of things not seen. Listen to these translations. It's conviction of the reality we don't see, or proof of the reality of the things we cannot see. It's faith. This is my favorite one, Amplified Bible. Faith is perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. So we're here today to encourage one another in the faith in what we can't see today. Amen? So a few years back, I'm going to date myself a little bit. It was probably in the 90s. Do you guys remember those posters? It'd be just like a regular poster, 2D, and it would be like this repetitive digital image. So lots of colors, lots of little dots. It's almost pixelated, and it's kind of like, oh, well, that's interesting. You know, kind of weird, but whatever. And so, but the deal was, is that if you look at it, it's a 3D stereogram. If you haven't seen one, I'm telling you, it's two-dimensional, it's flat, you roll it out, you look at it. But if you stare at it intensely, what happens? Literally, there's a stereoscopic image. If you haven't seen one, you've got to look one up. Just Google it, you'll see them. A 3D stereogram. If you stare at it, there's an image that develops. Listen, a contemporary pastor said it this way. You can't see things unless you gaze at it intently and deeply. There are things that simply are hidden. I love Old Testament passages that remind us of this truth, of the reality of things we can't see. Does everybody remember the story of Balaam and his donkey, the talking donkey? As we see Balaam, what happens is he's instructed by the Lord to do one particular thing, and he decides to do his own thing. And so he traipses off with the donkey, and as he's moving along, the donkey would turn and go a different direction. So he would begin to whip the donkey to get it to go another way. So they begin going another way, and then the donkey presses him up against the wall trying to stop. So he whips him again, and then he keeps going, and then finally the donkey just sits down, and that's when the Lord opens the donkey's mouth. And here's what it says in Numbers 22, verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. But the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she hadn't turned aside from me, I would have surely killed you just now and let her live." Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me. Now then, if it's displeasing to you, I will turn back." Balaam didn't see the angel of the Lord. Here's another one, because I love these stories. 2 Kings 6 tells the story of Elisha the prophet. King Aram was coming against the people of Israel. And so as he was making his battle plans, Elisha was aware of what these plans were from the hand of the Lord. So, as you would understand, Aram, the king, got pretty upset about that, discovered that it was Elisha who knew his plans. So, he takes an army to surround Elisha in Dothan. So, they surround him. They're going to come in and attack him and take Elisha out. Well, Elisha and his attendant are staying in this house, and here's what it says in this passage. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" For he answered, "Do not fear," Elisha said, "for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Isn't that amazing? The Lord opened the servant's eyes to be able to see. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, today. There's more to this life than we can see. Have faith and strength in that. What does it say in Hebrews 11:2? "For by it the men of old gained approval." Gained approval. That word means to obtain a testimony or witness, to testify, be of good reputation. If you look at that word witness, it's the same word, martyreo, which is the same word as martyr. So literally, in your life of faith, laying it all on the line, standing on your faith. The New English Bible says it this way, "It is for their faith that the men of old stand on record." Are you ready to stand on record today in your faith and what you can't see of the Lord? The writer of Hebrews then takes us all the way back to the beginnings to help people to be able to be firm in their faith. One of the first statements of faith is at the very beginning. Listen to this in Hebrews 11:3. "By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." To say it another way, what's a core belief? That God created everything. I have faith, pistis, to understand, to perceive that all the worlds, meaning all the ages, everything that's ever been created was prepared by God. That God designed it. He's the architect. He's the fabricator. He built it. And how did he do it? He spoke it. The Word of God. He spoke everything that we see and can experience into being. So that what it says here, what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. This is a massive statement of faith today. Do you believe this? That God created all things. Let me encourage you with this today. Obviously, there's a tide that presses up against Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? Have you ever heard that? That there may be some who don't believe that? Here's what we know. Whether people have faith in this or not, it doesn't matter. The reality is that God created all things. Have faith. Have faith in that today. Will you stand on that, firm in your faith as a witness that God created all? Let's press forward. The writer of Hebrews gives us our first example of a witness. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." Listen, for the writer of Hebrews, what gave Abel's offering greater value was his faith. It's not the fact that it was an animal sacrifice. Listen to how the message says this particular verse. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. It's what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. So I want you to see something else within this testimony of Abel, and that is the very thing, is that even though he is dead, he still speaks to us today of his faith. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an opportunity through our life and even through our death to be able to have our faith as a testimony. The impact of your faith will live beyond your life. I know that in my own family, my own heritage, on both sides of my family, there are many that stand in the way of faith. Living strong in faith is a strong testimony that though they are gone, though they are dead, they still speak to me even today. Well, here's our next example. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. The story of Enoch comes from Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and then he retired. No, Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. And then check this out. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after that. He became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a way to go, right? Just raptured into God's presence. What an incredible testimony. And within this Genesis passage, as I read it and you listened to it, there are two incredible things that are embedded within this verse or these verses. It says in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God. In verse 24, that Enoch walked with God. And in 11:5, that he was pleasing to God. He was pleasing to God. Makes me think that it is possible to not be pleasing to God. And that's what brings us to our final verse, is that there are ways to be pleasing to God and there are ways to not be pleasing to God. What does it say here in verse 6? And without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then we find a way. Well, how do we do it? How do we become pleasing to God? Is to believe that he is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Do you believe that He is today? Amen. When we're in this room together, assembled as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the opportunity to live out our testimony before one another to say that we believe in God. Let's not too quickly jump across that. We believe that He is. But today also we know that there's a path to Him, which is that we believe that He's a rewarder. This is a rare Greek word for reward, a rewarder. It's mythopodotes, rewarder. And it's found only here in the Greek New Testament. It signifies one who pays wages or a paymaster. So God literally pays out to those who do what? Who seek Him. We believe that He is, and that we seek Him, and through that we find our reward. And can I say this? Is that our reward is God today. That we seek Him and that we can find Him. Let me ask you a difficult question this morning. You ready? It's Time Change Sunday. Why not? Listen, do you seek things from the Lord? Or do you seek the Lord? Moses in Exodus 33, verse 11 says this, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Now therefore I pray you," Moses says, "if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight." David in Acts 13 we find is a man after God's own heart who will do His will, all of it. Jesus, we know, often went alone to the hillside, alone to pray, to seek, to walk with the Lord. Let me give you a caution here this morning. God is a rewarder, right? We just read it. God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. What I find powerful about this passage is that we just read about two witnesses in the faith, right? One was Abel and one was Enoch. Did they have kind of different outcomes? Just slightly? Remember that as we seek the Lord in this life, it may not be all clean and tidy like we think it should be. Abel was brutally murdered. Okay? He was seeking the Lord with all of his heart, pleasing to Him. And his life was tragically taken. Enoch, he walked into the Lord's presence. So let us be careful today as we frame this thought of being pleasing to God and seeking Him, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him, that we're not quick to say and make judgment about how God does that. Listen, in the end, I just want to be pleasing to God, and I'll leave all the rest up to Him. Is that your faith this morning? Jesus Himself said, "Lord, Father, please let this cup pass from me." Yet He was obedient even to death on a cross. Contemporary theologian says this, "True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of the circumstances and the consequences. Life may not make sense, but faith is our total response to what God has revealed in His Word." Flying is incredibly common, right? There's one church member that I like to visit with who actually commutes every week. He flies in and out, which is amazing. I know that many do that, but it's just kind of commonplace, right? 101 million flyers in and out of Hartsfield-Jackson, Atlanta last year. Just tons of flights, even in the air right now. Can kind of take it for granted. But as I read one article by Tim Challis, he identified one flight and where they're going along, and then all of a sudden the plane just begins to plummet. They're in some rough air, some turbulence, but it just absolutely begins to drop. The pilot and co-pilot begin to take control, and as they're doing that, just kind of wrestling the plane, they're able to actually get it under control, even though engines are stalling. I mean, it was a scary scene, but they were able to bring it in safely. But there was an investigation about what had happened in the air because of the difficulty. Here's what the investigators found, that almost everything that had gone wrong had been the fault of the pilots. When the plane encountered significant turbulence, the pilot should have responded according to their flight training, according to the plane's manual. Instead, they relied on instinct. And then when the plane began to experience further complications, the pilots ignored the instruments that should have directed them to the source of the problem and the straightforward solution. They swung the plane violently from side to side, attempting to ride it because they ignored the aircraft's instrument panels and the manual. What made this even a double calamity was the lethal convergence of two factors, bad weather and pilot error. The investigative report of the incident indicated the unfortunate pilot was flying into heavy fog. Went on to explain that when the pilot's flying in those conditions, it's vital that he rely solely on his instruments as opposed to flying by the seat of his pants. This is because without visual point of reference, one's senses can be easily fooled into thinking the plane is doing the exact opposite. Listen, this life is foggy and there's plenty of turbulence. And may our eyes be found continually on the instruments and on the manual for what truth is and which way truly is up. Let me ask you to think about and consider three things as I conclude today. One is this: what will this faith do? Listen, there's a perspective that's gained to those who are faithful. We can see things clearly. We can see through things by faith. Ephesians 6:16 says this: in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Be encouraged today in your faith. Pay attention to the Lord, His instructions, how He's guiding us so that we can take up the shield of faith to take steps along the way. I love this old hymn: standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Listen to this verse. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Amen? That's our faith today. Strong in the storms, true to what we cannot see with our own eyes. So it gives us perspective. But also our faith allows us the ability to be able to proclaim the gospel. We've read about people already within this passage that we're reading about their faith today. They are faithful to the Lord. Incredible testimonies. You have the same opportunity in your life through your faith is to live out a testimony of what God has done in your life, how He saved you, rescued you, directed you, guided your path. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were able to see the faith lived out of one Christian brother. His wife was tragically taken in a car accident on the south side of town. Coach Monty Williams, an assistant coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, stood on faith, proclaiming his faith in the Lord in a bold way. Think of Hebrews 11:1 through 6 as I read some of the excerpts of what Monty shared at his wife's funeral. Here's what he said. Psalm 73:1 says, God is good. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. This is what he said. During times like this, it's easy to forget that because we've gone through, what we've gone through is pretty tough and it's hard, we want an answer. We don't always get an answer when we want it. But we can't lose sight of the fact that God loves us. And that's what my wife and I want, however badly, to exhibit on a daily basis. But God does love us. He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for my sins. And I, for one, know that I'm not the man that you guys see every day. Only God could cover that. He loved me so much that He gave me a wife that loved every part of me and she fit me perfectly. Romans 8:28 says that we know that God causes all things to work together. And all of this will work out. As hard as this is for me and my family, this will work out. Doesn't mean that it's not hard. Doesn't mean that it's not painful. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have tough times. We're going to have tough times. But what we need is the Lord. That's what my wife and I tried to exhibit every day. God will work this out. My wife is in heaven. God loves us. God is love. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find it. I know exactly where my wife is. Let's not lose sight of what's important. God is important. What Christ did on the cross is important. Can you hear the faith of Hebrews 11, 1 through 6 bubbling out in this brother's life? He was standing on the promises, boldly proclaiming the faith that really took over social media, newscast, the full article printed in the paper, boldly proclaiming faith in things that we just can't see. So we get a perspective in this life through our faith. We've got the opportunity to proclaim the gospel, but I want to encourage you with one thing this morning that is the most important thing. Our faith in God is all about His pleasure. It's not about what I get, what I deserve, or I'm doing certain things, or I'm earning things from God. In the end, my faith in God is to do exactly what it says here. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Today, let me encourage you to simply believe that He is and do everything that you can through faith. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day of Christ approaching, that we are pleasing to Him. And that's it. Because you know what happens through that? When we work to be pleasing to Him, we get a relationship with Him. And He takes care of absolutely everything that we ever thought we would ever need. Let us be pleasing to Him. Would you bow your heads with me? God, we thank You this morning that we have the opportunity to be reminded of the simplicity of our faith in You. So I pray today, God, that if there are any in this room this morning that are just flat out tired of trying to figure it out, work it out, understand it, see it, touch it, be able to scientifically prove it, God, that You would allow them the opportunity today to just lay it all down in faith and trust that You are. That You are the Creator. That You made all things. And that You desperately want to have a relationship, or that You want us to seek You, Lord, with all of our heart. So God, I pray if there are any here today, that they would surrender their life to You. That they would give up, give out, give in. Turn themselves over completely to You, broken by You, Lord. Making You the King, the Lord, the Master of their life. God, I also pray for brothers and sisters in this place today. That as we struggle in this life to keep our bearings, that we would find a simple reminder this morning to simply believe in You, to seek You. God, not trying to earn anything or wear ourselves out by learning so much stuff. God, trying to do things for You or around You that we miss just being with You, God. So I pray that this morning that if there are any that need to confess and repent to You, even where they are today, that very simply that they would turn their hearts and their lives to You to be pleasing to You, God. Lord, we love You so much this morning. We thank You for the opportunity to be able to look at the freshness of Your word today. May we be found faithful in You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand, I want to encourage you, if you sense the Lord's leadership to come and join this church today, don't wait to do that. If you sense the Lord's leading today that you need to trust Him as your personal Savior, don't wait to do that. Please come forward to do that. And then finally, if you're here today, and you know that you need to turn to the Lord, just walking with Him day in and day out, please come and pray. Pray where you are that your life with Him would be renewed this morning as we sing together.